The Truth News Network. In a time when the world is a dangerous place and facts are hard to come by, here's one refuge where only the truth resides. TNN.
The Truth News Network.
And here's your guardian angel, Dan Newman.
Well, today your angel is going to take you back into the 1990s. We're going to look at Bill Clinton's impeachment and what it looks like today, 20 years later. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman. Welcome today. And yes, the drums of impeachment for this president are being banged a whole lot louder after the Robert Mueller press conference, as it seems almost certain that the House of Representatives will attempt to impeach Donald Trump. It's worth a look back at the last impeachment of a president that took place during the lives of many of us. However, many today were not alive in 99 when Bill Clinton's impeachment took place. It's worth a look back to examine the similarities and the differences between Clinton's impeachment and details surrounding it as compared to the impending impeachment of President Trump. So let's walk down memory lane together and reminisce a bit for the late 1990s. In the highly charged partisan politics of the 90s, President Clinton's personal indiscretions led to the second impeachment trial in U.S. history. Independent counsel Kenneth Starr was investigating Clinton's pre-presidential financial dealings, but could prove no wrongdoing. In a separate case, Clinton was being sued by Paula Jones for sexual harassment. In her effort to demonstrate that Clinton was a harasser, Jones called a young former White House intern named Monica Lewinsky to testify. Lewinsky had told a friend that she had been having a relationship with the president. In the Jones case, Lewinsky at first denied a relationship with the president. In his deposition, Clinton denied under oath any involvement with Lewinsky. Her denial caught Starr's attention. Starr suspected the president had committed perjury and, in doing so, obstructed justice in the Jones trial. So Starr assembled a grand jury. He issued dozens of subpoenas and eventually offered Lewinsky immunity in return for her testimony. She finally admitted that she had lied. She and Clinton had had sexual encounters. When Clinton testified for Starr's grand jury, he gave some very evasive answers. However, that same night, he admitted the Lewinsky affair to the American people, apologizing to his family. Starr submitted his report to the House Judiciary Committee, saying that he had proof of 11 impeachable offenses. 11, folks. The House of Representatives approved two articles of impeachment, both regarding his relationship with Lewinsky. House prosecutors said that Clinton deserved to be convicted and removed from office because he had committed perjury and obstruction of justice in the Jones investigation. Lying under oath is clearly a crime. The president's own lawyer said his behavior was morally reprehensible, but was not impeachable. They explained that the accusation against the president did not meet the constitutional standard to remove the president from office. Whatever wrongs he had committed were wrongs against his family, not matters of public concern because they did not threaten the national interest that the president is sworn to uphold. A majority of the Republican-controlled House of Representatives voted in early 1999 to impeach the president based upon Judge Starr's referral. The House managers argued that what the president had done was inconsistent with his sworn duty to take care that the laws of the nation be faithfully executed. When the matter was tried in the Senate in February of 1999, however, the president's defenders prevailed and no more than 50 senators, all Republicans, could be found to vote for conviction on any of the charges. The 90s was a time of viciously partisan politics in the United States. Does that sound vaguely familiar? According to a U.S. News and World Report article published in December of 98, quote, "The House that voted to impeach President Clinton is more deeply divided than at any time since Reconstruction." Some people believe that Clinton was impeached for political reasons, not for constitutional reasons. There are many people, including many constitutional experts, that question the substance of the original impeachment statute. Rather than pontificate on my personal opinions, let's take an objective look. What is the basis for impeachment? Well, impeachment is the constitutionally specified means by which an official of the executive or judicial branch may be removed from office for misconduct. There has been considerable controversy about what constitutes an impeachable offense. At the original Constitutional Convention, the delegates early on voted for, quote, malpractice and neglect of duty as grounds for impeachment. But the Committee of Detail narrowed the basis to treason, bribery, and corruption, then deleting the last point, corruption. George Mason, who wanted the grounds much broader and similar to the earlier formulation, suggested maladministration. But James Madison pointed out that this would destroy the president's independence and make him dependent on the Senate. Mason then suggested high crimes and misdemeanors, which the convention accepted. Because high crimes and misdemeanors was a term of art used in English impeachments, a plausible reading supported by many scholars is that the grounds for impeachment can not only be defined crimes of treason and bribery, but also other criminal or even non-criminal behavior amounting to a serious dereliction of duty. That interpretation is disputed, but it is agreed by virtually all that the impeachment remedy was to be used in only the most extreme situations, a position confirmed by the relatively few instances in which Congress has used impeachment. The word impeachment is popularly used to indicate both the bringing of charges in the House and the Senate vote on removal from office. In the Constitution, however, the term refers only to the former, bringing the charges. At the convention, the delegates experimented with differing impeachment proceedings. As finally agreed, a majority vote of the House of Representatives is required to bring impeachment charges. That's Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5, which are then tried before the Senate. Article 1, Section 3, Clause 6. Two-thirds of the Senate must vote to convict before an official can be removed. The President may not pardon a person who has been impeached. That's from Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1. If an official is impeached by the House and convicted by the requisite vote in the Senate, then Article 1, Section 3, Clause 7 provides that the person convicted is further barred from any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. The convicted official also loses any possible federal pensions. With a few exceptions, those impeached and removed have generally faded into obscurity, and that's for obvious reasons. It's important to note that the U.S. President is not the only person in the federal government who can be impeached. Impeachment can occur for any person in the judiciary or executive branch of government. Now, I know that's mentioned above, but it's important to mention again. I've seen numerous social media posts encouraging the impeachment of members of Congress and even of some state governors. In each of those cases, however, the voters who elected them into their positions have recall power to use to remove them. That process, of course, varies from state to state, but it's governed by law. So, why don't we do this? Why don't we look at Trump's acts of high crimes and misdemeanors? That's what they're screaming about around the country. Now we know what impeachment is all about, how it works, and what is necessary to initiate the act. To impeach this president, or any president, their acts of high crimes and misdemeanors must be established. So let's look at what a few of the president's such acts have been that are driving the cries from his detractors for his impeachment. Former Attorney General Eric Holder, now he would be a guy that would know. He said that the Mueller report outlined evidence of impeachable offenses by President Trump. He said this, "Oh, I think there are grounds for impeachment. If you look at the second part of the Mueller report, there's no question that obstruction of justice does exist in the findings that Bob Mueller reported and in painstaking detail. And that, and of itself, would be the basis for impeachment," Holder said. "I think the House needs to gather evidence. We need to hear from Bob Mueller. They need to get the entirety of the report and then make a reasonable decision." And then there's David Schneider, professor emeritus of psychology and cognitive studies at Rice University. He said this, quote, "Trump has done a lot of things that are even more disgusting than anything Clinton did." I don't know about that, like having sex on the couch in the Oval Office with an intern. Snyder continued, but at least in the sexual realm, not while president, as far as we know. He has helped further divide the country and has issued policy statements based on fear, hatred, and a kind of racism. He's a horrible human being, and by my lights, has been a terrible president. Using the Republican standards for impeachment, he probably qualifies. But if we apply the narrower, and I think correct, standards, I'm far less sure. And then front and center is Representative Adam Schiff, Democrat from Burbank, California, who has been one of Trump's fiercest critics. He redoubled his criticism of the president, saying the Mueller report depicted presidential conduct that was as bad or worse than Watergate, the scandal that forced the resignation of President Trump. Representative Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York, declared that there was, quote, plenty of evidence of obstruction of justice that lawmakers would need to weigh. Obstruction of justice, if proven, would be impeachable, Nadler said on NBC's Meet the Press. Nadler chairs the House Judiciary Committee, where impeachment proceedings must originate. And then there's this one more expert, author David Swanson. He uses the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution as the justification for the Trump impeachment. Here's what he says. Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution states, quote, the president shall not receive any other emolument, which means benefit, personal benefit, from the United States or any of them. This means that the president cannot receive personal financial gains from the United States government or from the governments of any of the 50 states while he is president. This restriction is absolute, and it cannot be waived by Congress. Trump is already in violation of it and will be more so with every law, rule, regulation, enforcement, or lack thereof that his subordinates, Congress, or any agency of the federal government act to the benefit of Trump's businesses and possessions. Author David Swanson continued, for example, Trump's lease of the old post office violates any explicit clause in the General Services Administration lease contract, which states, no elected official of the government of the U.S. shall be admitted to any share or part of this lease or to any benefit that may arise therefrom. The GSA's failure to enforce that contract is an unconstitutional benefit to Donald Trump. That, of course, the opinion of author David Swanson. The problem with his explanation is that if the Emoluments Clause was used as the basis for impeachment, any and all who are appointed to positions in the judiciary and or the executive branches of government could never have professionally engaged in any type of business enterprise or personal financial interaction at all before being elected president or appointed by the president. Think about it. Obviously, that would be an impossible task to enter into or oversee. President Trump famously turned over all Trump business enterprises and operations to his two sons, Eric and Don Jr., to exclusively handle without his involvement at all. Short of liquidating dozens and dozens of companies and historical financial interactions, this president and many previous judges at all federal judicial levels and members of pretty much every presidential cabinet would have been disqualified under the strictest interpretations of the Emoluments Clause. Folks, we could list Politico after Politico who all are on the impeachment bandwagon. Do you know what's missing in all of their impeachment charges against the president? Specific facts showing proof of his high crimes and misdemeanors. Constitutionally, those must be present and provable to successfully exercise impeachment that would result in removal from office. We've got some more thoughts as we get close to wrapping it up, and an opinion and some thoughts for you that will blow your mind. Don't go away. We'll be right back at truthnewsnet.org.
Real truth, real news, TNN, the Truth News Network.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my HealthMart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. And they can help you, too. My pharmacist cares about my health and the things I love, whatever that might be.
HealthMart, caring for you and about you. Visit HealthMart.com for the locally owned pharmacy near you. Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks! Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry! Save the children! Save them!
Wait.
Stay back! I've got mace!
Ow! That went in my eyes!
We're moving!
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA, love your home.
Left versus right, Republican versus Democrat, conservative versus liberal. Which side do you take? The side of the truth on TNN.
TruthNewsNet.org, the Truth News Network.
Most Democrat Party leaders are extremely hesitant to go down the impeachment road. Doing so by the Republicans in 1999 cost them dearly in the next midterm election. Bill Clinton's approval rating among Americans during impeachment proceedings was as high as it ever had been during his presidency. Why? The economy in America was soaring. Sound a bit familiar? Well, it's very similar to where we stand right now in the U.S. Make no mistake about it. The Democrat Party is on the impeachment issue, severely divided. Those in the establishment wing of the party understand the dangers of going through an impeachment. Certainly, there are not enough Republican senators that will vote against the president to secure a conviction, even if the House passes an impeachment motion. Those Democrats are convinced their House majority would be obliterated in 2020, just as happened to the GOP after the Clinton impeachment. On the other hand, the other end of the party, the Young Turks in the House are hell-bent on impeachment. They, as a unified and militant arm of the Democrat Party, have made it clear they demand impeachment proceedings immediately against Donald Trump. They primarily represent millennials, which is a group of voters that Democrat Party leadership are desperate to keep happy. Without their support of party policies and legislation, it would be really tough to reach their legislative objectives. Democrats, to be honest, are in a catch-22 dilemma. And there's one more thing we need to mention before we finish today. I want you to imagine with me, just dream with me for a moment. Think about this. The assumption is for Mueller to call and execute that very unusual press conference at the Department of Justice, in which he did a little more than simply repeat the details of his already released Mueller report. One would think he did so for a specific purpose. You would think if he was going to add something or correct something, he would have done so in that press conference, but he didn't. Many are certain that his reason was to send a message to Congress that says, "Hey guys, I'm done here. We couldn't prove sufficient wrongdoing to guarantee a successful action against President Trump. But we want to make certain you understand, we think you," of course he's talking to members of Congress, "should take the ball we gave you to use to impeach him." But me personally, I'm not so certain that's the case. Here's another thought. Consider this. Let's assume for a moment that Mueller really does not think or does not want the president impeached. He wants him to get reelected in 2020. By leaving his report with no solid conclusion shared for or against his removal from office, his dog whistle shout out, his being Mueller's, his shout out to Congress says, "Sick 'em, boys." What if he purposely is goading members of Congress led by Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York, who is chair of the House Judiciary Committee? What if he wants them to impeach the president, all the while knowing that their doing so will most certainly result in a similar election outcome as did in the midterm after the failed Clinton impeachment trial? What if Mueller really wants to guarantee a second term for Donald Trump at the White House? Wouldn't that be a sneaky way to assist the president in a dramatic reelection? If he really wants President Trump to win? Hey, impeachment, it's out there, folks, and I am predicting and have predicted for months and months and months, about halfway through the Mueller investigation, that President Trump will be impeached. We'll see. There's a lot still yet to be done. The conclusions, well, nobody can guess those at this particular point. Stick with us. We're going to find them. As the curves in the road occur, we're going to take you around every curve with details at truthnewsnetwork.org. Until we meet again, you have a great day. So long, everyone.
Read all about it. Hear the truth. TNN,
the Truth News Network.